I'm gonna sneeze.
Oh my god.
I guess not.
Okay.
Maybe. Okay.
What? Unless. David said you guys were watching season one Star Trek.
No, we were, well, season one Next Generation. Last night while he was packing, yeah. I wasn't feeling great, and so we,
So we put on the worst season of Next Generation.
So, yeah. I mean, we don't have to, I can give you my overview of the pilot of the Next Generation, and that it was bad and didn't make any fucking sense and was really poorly made.
Do you want to know why it didn't make any sense? Glad we skipped that. Is because originally they were going to do 1 hour, and then someone was like, what if we did 2 hours? And Gene Roddenberry was like, I shall attach a plot of my own to the original writers so that I get credit for this. And so part was bolted on to this like space station plot, which on its own could have been interesting, but it's, I don't know, it's boring kind of as a first episode. The Q stuff wasn't great in that episode, but Q is so good for the rest of the series. So, I mean, what are you going to do?
My problem with the character of Q is that there's no motivation. Q is just chaos.
He's just like, doing it to be an asshole.
He is Bill Hader in that bit from SNL, the what's that name? You know, the sketch with John Mulaney in it?
Yeah.
And he's like, what do you want? And he's like, in a word, chaos. Like, that's Q. There's no motivation. He's just an asshole. So I don't like the character for that reason, in that it doesn't make sense. There's no... no motivation.
He has funnier episodes. I think you just haven't watched any of them. Like, they're the ones that are sillier and make him fun and are why people like the character aren't the good episodes. If you want a couple of good Q episodes, I can recommend them, but you'll get there if you keep stumbling through. But that's not what we're here for this week.
We're here to talk about Enterprise this week.
Yeah. The best of the Star Trek series. It's been a long road. Getting from there to here, it's been a long time, but my time is finally here, and I will see my dream come alive at last. I will touch the sky, and they're not gonna hold me down no more. No, they're not gonna change my mind, 'cause I've got
If you don't already know, I'm Becca, and I'm here to watch Star Trek for the first time.
And I'm Jessica, and I've watched Star Trek 400,000 times.
She's here to guide me through Star Trek.
Yeah. We're going on a journey together to the undiscovered country, Star Trek 6.
So, I watched Enterprise this week.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it.
We haven't done any background on it. Do you want me to tell you a little bit about its place in Trek history?
Well, let me give you what I picked up on. Because I did get to watch the pilot of Enterprise, which I found incredibly helpful compared to my experiences with all the other series in which I was just like thrown into the middle.
Here's the problem. I didn't want you to watch the pilot of every series because some of them, I'm like, there's better episodes. Some of them episodes. Are bad. Yeah.
So I watched the pilot of Enterprise as my first episode this week. And I picked up on it takes place like 100 years before... like the rest of them before the Next Generation.
So
100-ish years is 2151.
It's 200 years roughly before the Next Generation, like 220 years before Next Generation and 100 years before the original series.
Okay.
So 90 years before Discovery and Strange New Worlds, but also like 140 years before Picard, okay? Is that clear?
It's 2151. That's what I picked up on. Because they said like in two generations we wiped out all disease and war on Earth, and I was like, wow, really looking forward to the next 150 years. This is gonna be great. We're gonna figure it all out is what I'm picking up on. Like, it's gonna be great.
That sounds fantastic.
I also love that they filmed that before like 9/11 happened, so that like the writers are like, in the next 150 years it's going to be amazing, and then no.
So the show itself did premiere just after 9/11,
but they filmed it before.
Yeah, they would have filmed it before, but it definitely informed parts of the series, which you didn't get to see any of. But yeah, 9/11 laid its hat upon Enterprise.
So we have Captain John something. Archer?
Jonathan Archer, yeah.
Jonathan Archer. Jonathan Almost Bonathan never
John.
Archer.
Yeah, Jonathan Bonathan Archer.
And he is the son of the guy who invented the warp drive.
Warp 5 God, drive.
I picked that. Okay. Warp.
It's
warp
different because Zefram Cochrane invented the warp drive. We all saw that in Star Trek First Contact, which you have watched.
Okay. So
sure, I have, absolutely.
So, I'm sure. So he, and now the Enterprise, the HMS Enterprise is going to go on its first expedition. That's in the opening credits. They show a shot that says HMS Enterprise. I'm not making
that
up.
Do they say HMS Enterprise?
You got to pay better attention to those opening credits.
Do you know what HMS means?
In the opening credits, there's a shot that shows, it says little plaque, and it says HMS Enterprise. I'm not making that up. I just saw it.
That's a different ship. I got to be honest with you. It's not the same ship.
In Enterprise?
Do you know what HMS means?
Well, it's like a ship.
It's like a boat. Yeah, it's like Her Majesty's ship or something like that.
I thought they were doing like a play on words, like the HMS Enterprise. Okay, yeah. Well, that's what was on the
like, hey man,
credits.
Space Enterprise, HMS. No, look, it's man. The NX-01. You sound dumb again. Did you even watch this show?
Okay, I was paying attention to the opening credits, which, by the way, we have to talk about the opening credits.
Yeah.
So my first line, and so I take notes line by line. So we'll talk about the first episode first. I watched the pilot called Broken Bow.
Correct.
And the first line that I wrote just says, I am deeply hungover and I hate you for picking a 75-minute episode. What the fuck?
Listen, it is what it is.
So the episode starts, and it starts in Oklahoma in the year ... is what I wrote. Some aliens have crashed into some corn. I said, there's some incredibly early 2000s animation that they clearly thought was amazing at the time. Very made me feel like the prequels of Star Wars, where they, like, clearly they were making this and animating it of, like, the aliens sliding under the door. And they were like, this is incredible. This
came out a year after
the pinnacle
2 years
of animation.
2 years after the first prequel.
So I then say, there's a Worf-looking guy. And he's running from some bad guys. The bad guys blow up a corn silo. And then this farmer shoots the Worf-looking guy.
So you and sound like the I tweet said, where it's like, person who has only ever seen Worf on Star Trek. Getting real Worf vibes from this person.
He's the only Klingon that I've seen. So I just
That's
said he was a Worf.
True. You've watched other Star Trek.
I'm not convinced that there were Klingons in the other episodes that weren't Worf.
Like, okay.
He's the only one.
Okay.
So, and then I said, I'm going to take a wild guess here and guess that Worf guy wasn't the bad guy, but he got shot. Okay. And then the opening credits roll. I said, oh my God, it's giving SpongeBob at the Bubble Bowl vibes.
I've never seen
that. I don't know if
any
of our listeners are familiar, but there's an episode of SpongeBob where SpongeBob joins a marching band with Squidward, and they go to the Bubble Bowl, which is the Super Bowl, basically. And so they get, like, brought up in this little half bubble from under the sea to perform at the human Super Bowl, and they play this song that has identical vibes. Just look up SpongeBob Bubble Bowl.
You're joining us on A Sponge's Bob. Thanks for coming today.
A Sponge's Bob. We could do that next.
No.
I love SpongeBob. So anyway, the song is incredible. You would have heard, I guess, at this point, our rendition, Jessica's rendition of it.
No, that's God's rendition.
It's
God put that music in my heart.
So I didn't tell David that I was watching this. Like, we were both hungover. We went to a friend's house Friday night, and it was like a wine and cheese party thing. And so everybody had too much wine. And so we're just laying on the couch, and he goes downstairs to play his video games. And I'm like, I guess I'll watch my Star Trek. start watching this, and he just immediately texts me. He's like, I hear that you have faith. Faith of the heart.
So when that song came on, like, I watched the premiere of this live in 2001. You know, it was a hard time for the nation, and I thought this would heal us. And the song did not heal the nation. People hate the song so much. I sent Chris the cover I did of it. Compared to like the Voyager theme. No. Compared to the Voyager theme, like, this is not a Star Trek. And this is the first time any pop music was in Star Trek in any real way. And people were like, what the fuck is going on here?
I could see that my like critique of it being that it kind of breaks the fourth wall because it's like clearly music of this time versus the more instrumental music doesn't have a time, right? It's just like a score that could fit with any time period. But this is clearly like 2001 pop music, like pinnacle of pop. And so I could see at that time being like, no, I'm here to watch Star Trek. I don't want to hear fucking this discount Bryan Adams sing this song.
It wasn't, Rod Stewart recorded it, but that's not Rod Stewart on the recording, which is a shame, you know?
No.
America's voice.
And then we'll get to it, but in the next episode I watched, it was a different
version. Oh, we'll talk about that, because hate that version. I have very strong opinions. So I sent I recorded this and sent it to Chris because I'm terrible at keeping a secret, and they hate this song. And they literally replied, how dare you? How could you do this to me?
I think it is good.
It grows on you. Like, I didn't like it when I first heard it. I was like, oh, this is weird. But now I love it. I will send memes of it to people all the time. I will reference it for no reason. When Chris goes to the bathroom and we can't decide what to watch, I put it on and they just go, no. So, yeah, it is one of my favorite songs. And it was a joy to record for our fine listeners.
Yeah. So now we're flash for, yeah. So I guess I should preface this. I got into it a little early. So the show actually starts way in the past with John Arthur
John,
a child, and his Archer. Dad being like, the ship's almost ready. And then now we're in the future, and this farmer has killed the Klingon. Okay, we're all caught up. Okay, so my next note was that they were trying to do too much with their brand new animation technology, and none of it works. Like, it was like they just slightly didn't have enough budget, because the Star Wars prequels, like, look decent for the time that they were made.
Yeah, that was ILM, though, too. Like, the effects house who did that was the effects house.
Right, whereas this was for TV, so they had to make a bunch of them. So they couldn't have the same budget as a movie.
This was the first series to do full CG. Like, Voyager still had studio models, but it wasn't fully studio models. This was the first one that really did. There's also a difference here because you're seeing, like, when you watch Voyager, it's not upscaled. It's running at 480p or whatever. Probably 40i, I don't remember. But because the way they filmed it, they couldn't transfer to HD, versus Enterprise is always filmed in HD. So the effects look worse because they're a higher resolution and the technology wasn't ready for that.
That's what I was picking up on. It was like high definition, low quality animation.
Yes.
It's like you can see that there's no details where there should be details, and like you can see that the shadows are wrong and stuff, and it's just like
it gets a lot better as they quality. Go.
Sure. I'm sure they had less budget for the pilot, but okay, so the Klingon, who we later learn is named Klang.
Of course.
He's alive, but there are Vulcan guys that are talking to John Arthur, and they're like, we have to kill him.
Archer. You keep calling him Arthur.
Jonathan Arthur. they're like, we gotta kill him because he's a Klingon, and they're supposed to die in battle. So we can't keep him alive. This is going to be dumb. We're going to look so dumb.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. You know how Klingons are, and the Earth's people are like, we don't actually.
And so John is like, here's what we do. First mission of the HMS Enterprise is we will bring Klang back to the Klingons. Klang and the Klingons. What an original name.
All of their names are like, they all start with K's. Sometimes there's an apostrophe, except for Worf, who lives on his own. His brother's name was Kern.
That'd be like a human being named Haman. Like, it's like, it's incredibly silly.
My dentist's name is Krentist.
Apprentice. It's incredibly silly to me that he's a Klingon and his name is Klang.
It's all like that. Klag, right, so or Klang.
John's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep him alive. We're going to bring him back to his people, and it's going to be amazing. So he's like, I got to assemble top-notch crew. So I'm going to go to Brazil because my lady friend is in Brazil, and she speaks all the languages. So this is going to be great. We cut to Brazil. We're in the rainforest because obviously if you want to learn a language, you have to be in the rainforest.
Yeah.
You can't do that in the city. You got to be in Brazil.
They got great Wi-Fi in the jungle.
So she speaks all the languages, and he's like, that's great. I'll bring her with. And she turns out she doesn't speak Klingon, but he's like, you can come with anyway.
It's a new language. She had never heard it.
So she's like, all right, I'll figure it out. So she comes with. And then I just have a line that says dog in all caps because there was a dog on the screen.
The captain has a dog.
Jonathan Bonathan has a dog, a little beagle puppy, and the dog's name is
Porthos.
Porthos. I kept wanting to call it Parvo, which is a disease that only dogs get.
He's trying to spread awareness.
Parvo. What's your dog's name? Tapeworm.
What's your cat's name? Feline AIDS.
Okay, so... So he's assembling his crew, and the Vulcans, mm-hmm. who were there in the beginning, the ones telling him to kill Klang, they're like, we're going to send this lady with you. She's going to come with. And she is extra sassy. And I have a line that says, these Vulcans seem to be extra sassy. Too sassy. So it seems like they really leaned into the Vulcan sass. Because before, like, I mean, I know Spock wasn't a full Vulcan, but he was never, like, an asshole. He was just super logical. She's like an asshole. Like, she's like trying to be an asshole.
So the story behind that is that Vulcans were the first people we made contact with, which you'll see when I make you watch First Contact. And since then, they've like helped Earth, but as a really shitty, like older brother type, where they're like, oh, you'll get it someday, little friend. And they've just been held back. That's why they were Captain Archer was so angry when he's like, just let us fucking go and do this. Like, we've been waiting. You stole this from my dad. You're not going to steal it from me.
So they're like, we're going to use warp speed for the first time. We're going to go to the Klingons.
No, they've used warp speed. They're going to use warp 5.
All right, whatever. It's faster.
It is.
You're going to hit me with a mallet? I use the wrong
terminology.
Next
time I see you, yeah, it's like a boop.
Get it right. So they're about to take off. He's got his crew. He's got his buddy Trip. He's got the mean Vulcan lady.
I love
Trip. He's got the Asian lady from Brazil who speaks alien. And
got
it. Yeah. Got it. I got the whole crew.
That's all.
There's another guy. There's one other guy with an accent that I'm forgetting.
He's British.
Yeah. I don't know.
That was Reed.
Walker,
Texas Ranger. Hardly know her, Texas Ranger.
Hardly know her.
No, so that was Reed, commander. I think he's lieutenant in this. Lieutenant Reed, he's British. He's the weapons officer. He's like tactical security and weapons. And then there's Travis Mayweather, who's the helmsman, the pilot, and the alien doctor. Did you talk about him yet?
Oh yeah, the alien doctor is the one that tells them like that Klang will probably survive. Yeah. The alien doctor is obsessed with humans. He's just like fascinated. He wants to come along because he wants to just like hang out with humans. He's like, you guys are so funny. Like, they just like, and I started watching another, like the second episode after this one, in which he's like, I can tell those humans are gonna fuck soon. Do you think they'd let me watch? Like,
I don't see why they wouldn't. I'm a doctor. It's for science.
So he's the doctor. They got this ragtag crew. They're gonna go on the Enterprise. They're gonna bring Klang home. Okay, so they're about to take off, and the Vulcan lady decides now is the time to be like, the coordinates are off. It's off by 0.2 degrees. And John is like, fuck it, send it. And here we go. Away we go.
You can fix that in the air, you know. You'll do it live.
It'll be fine. And then the next thing I wrote down is evil aliens that sound like Kylo Ren. And then I didn't write down anything after that, so I don't know what that was about.
I heard Kylo Ren is like really ripped underneath his outfit.
What's his name in that sketch? He walks
Matt,
in.
Matt the sensor technician. Hi, I'm Matt.
Hi, I'm Matt. Matt's totally Kylo Ren.
Yeah. Matt fucking sucks. Threw me into a vending machine yesterday.
I love that sketch.
It's okay, so funny. So
the evil aliens. I think this is when they cut away to these evil aliens that are the ones from the beginning who were chasing Klang.
The Suliban.
Yes, the Suliban. And they have some shadow guy that they're talking to. And he's like, you got to get Klang back. Why'd you lose him?
I love him. I need him in my life.
I love him. He's the only one that laughs at my jokes. Please bring him back to me.
Klang's got a great sense of humor.
I love that guy. My favorite is when he goes, oh, Avada.
Like, yeah, that's Klang. That's a great Klang.
Thank you. I worked really hard on that. Okay. So then we cut to Trip and the other guy that I don't remember the name of. And they're bonding in the zero-G area.
That's
the guy who was Travis. So he's like, I've been in space my whole life. And I, like, there's always a spot on the ship that has no gravity. Because the ships have fake gravity. And so they got to make their own gravity. So there's a part of the ship that has no gravity. And they can just float around. So they're just hanging out. And then they start shooting the shit. And he's like, did you know that the women on Drelax have three boobs? Ha ha.
Tits. You ever think about, like, you know how you like two tits? Imagine if there was 50% more.
Yeah. They don't even say it. They don't come out and say it. They're just like, they got three of everything. It's like, everything? Yeah. Everything. Yeah.
You think it's hard to find extra... one clitoris? Good luck when there's three.
Forget about it.
They're not where you would think either.
One of them's on the left eyelid, actually. It's crazy. Yeah.
So if you see her rubbing her eye, it's not allergies.
Okay, so then we cut back to the Vulcan lady. I didn't catch her name throughout the whole first episode, so she's just Vulcan lady.
T'Pol.
T'Pol. And she is... Yeah, I got her name in the next episode. I figured it out. So she's shitting on humans. And then I think John is like, well,
but just shitting on them? You might have watched a different episode. Oh, okay.
I watched a different version. So she's like talking smack about humans. And John is like, but we got rid of war and disease in like two generations. So we can't be all bad. And I was like, did they? Are we going to do that? That's crazy. That's news to me. Because, like, things are pretty bad.
Yeah, things are not good right now. So in Star Trek, First Contact is in 2063. It's in April 2063. So we're only 20 years away.
I'm going to be old
by then. 40 years away. Yeah. You might be dead, like, next week, so.
Okay.
So we get rid of everything bad.
So they got rid of everything bad. And then we cut to, we're in the doctor's office, and they're like, Klang is waking up. Get in here. So they get down there with translator lady, and he's mad. He's talking, he's yelling, which might just be how Klingons talk, but he seems pretty pissed. And the translator lady tries to explain to him why they're there, but she don't speak Vulcan or Klingon yet. She doesn't speak it. She can't. So she's trying her best. She's yelling at him. And then finally John is like, tell him to shut up. And she just goes, shut up. Like, I mean, he could have done that. Like, yeah.
Well, that's why you're captain, though, so you don't have to.
Yeah. So then the power goes out and there's some bad guys on the ship. It's the creepy guys. They're crawling on the ceiling. And then the lights come back on and Klang is gone. They killed one of the Suliban guys, but Klang is gone. So the Suliban came on the ship, took Klang, and then left. Now John wants to track down the evil aliens, and T'Pol is mad about this.
Yeah.
Because she's like, this is not logical. We were supposed to return Klang, now Klang is gone, so it's not our problem.
Yeah, we're done. Like, we did our best.
We tried.
Guess we shut the whole thing down.
So She's like, it's fine. We don't need to. We're good. Like, we can just go back to Earth. Like, take us back to Earth. This is stupid. And John is like, no, let's track him down. We can find. We got to get Klang home. That's our mission. Like, he's very mission oriented. And so, meanwhile, the translator lady is very paranoid about the warp core. Like, anytime there's any, like, vibration in the ship, she's like, we're all gonna die. And then they're standing next to the warp core, like, talking about something, and she's like, we shouldn't be standing down here. Like, my dear, if you were this paranoid, you should not have come on this ship.
Yeah, what are you doing? Seems it can't like be worth the pay.
Yeah, like, are they paying her?
I don't know, it's a government job, so.
Can't be that amazing. My dad worked for the government. The benefits were good, but, like, that was about it. Okay, so then we cut to Klang. The Suliban have him. They made him take a truth serum, and they're asking about something. They're, where is it? I don't know. And he says, I don't know. And they're like, he's telling the truth. They're Sarin, the lady. Suliban lady. Yeah,
they're looking for Sarin.
They're looking for Sarin, and they're like, where is she? And he's like, I don't know. And they're like, he's telling the truth. And I have a note that just says, why do the Suliban speak English? I gotta wonder. Like, because humans have never heard of these guys before, and they just out here speaking full, like, British English.
They're probably not within, like, when it's them by themselves, I bet they're not. Because you'll see that with, like, the Ferengi or the Klingons when they're by themselves.
They were, though.
Speak English. Yeah, but they're not. Nah. In-universe, they're not. They can, but in-universe, why would they speak our language when it's just them?
But they were, though, in the show.
Yeah, but that's a conceit to storytelling. Like, they're not really.
Well, it bothered me. They only spoke English the whole time. So now.
Didn't it bother you before, like, when the translator just worked? You're like, what the fuck is this? How can they understand each other? And now you're like, no.
Yeah, in the original series, English. When they this go is, to the ice planet. Life. They go to the ice planet and they're like, where are the women on your planet? And they're like, we don't have any. And I'm like, how do they know what they're saying? It's always bothered me about this show. Okay.
Why
so
is
John is
on
like,
planet?
we found the planet that Klang's on. So T'Pol is like, the water's safe to drink, but don't have sex with anyone. Which very specific rule. And I was like, why would she have to set that rule? That doesn't make sense. And then the next scene, they're in a strip club. So I'm like, all right, I guess she knew what they were going to try to do. And they're in a strip club looking at some aliens. Some stuff goes down and they find Sarin, and she tries to seduce John because she looks like a human. And he's like, nice. And then she kisses him, and then she immediately turns into a creepy alien lady. And then she's like, I had to know that I could trust you. I'm like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, that's how you measure trust.
By making out.
Yeah, like when I pick a doctor or a lawyer or like somebody I'm going to rely on, that's how I vet them.
A new boss.
Yeah, just like a 5-second Frencher, just to see.
So then she's like, we gotta find Klang. She's like, I'm a Suliban, but I'm not with these. I don't know them. These bad guys.
Yeah, they're weird. I'm super chill, for the record.
And I think we should find Klang. And then the bad guys show up, and they immediately kill her. Like, straight. She's in the show for, like, 90 seconds tops.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately kill her, and she's just like, find Klang, and then she dies. And I was like, what a brief character.
Way to die, idiot.
So now they're running from the Suliban. They can't find their ship, and it's a classic he said, she said, because Trip is like, it's this way, and T'Pol is like, no, it's this way. And then they follow T'Pol, and the ship's not there, and Trip's like, fucking women, am I right? Like, I told you, it's over here. And then I really thought that they were going to beam him up. The whole time I was like, they're going to get beamed up, because at the beginning of the episode, they're working on this beaming technology, and they like beam this cooler back and forth, and they're like, look, it works, but we probably should never use this on humans.
Yeah, could,
like,
you imagine?
That's funny.
Dangerous.
Yeah, they're like, that's so dangerous, we're never gonna use this on people. But this whole time they couldn't find their ship, and I was like, oh, they're gonna get beamed up. Didn't happen. But they eventually find the ship, and then the captain gets shot, John gets shot in the leg, and they get everybody on board. And then T'Pol is just like, I'm now in command of this ship. I was like, is that how that works? You're like, she well, was Captain's yeah. injured.
Her rank, but she's so the her, next ranking officer.
That was her reasoning, but that's like on her planet. Like that would be like another military being like, we're gonna help you guys, and then our top ranking official gets injured, and so the
it's like, well, I guess it's like, our army now.
Well, no, it's our army there. I don't
when
know.
When they agreed to have her on board as science officer, that her rank would have put her at that level, because otherwise Trip would have been second in command.
Right. And so Trip doesn't like that she just takes over, because yeah. he's like, I should be the next in command.
And she's like, sorry, contracts, you know how it goes.
And then we get the first taste of some horniness in Enterprise, which is that Trip and T'Pol have been exposed to a germ that no one else was exposed to, apparently. Just the two of them. Isn't mm-hmm. that convenient? So now they have to get naked and rub gel all over each other.
It's that makes to decontaminate sense. Each other angrily. Yeah.
But
and
they don't
sexily.
Have to take off their clothes.
Like, not
they,
all of them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It knows where your underwear are, and the gross germs don't
the
go underneath
germ
there.
Germ stops. Yeah.
They're special underwear. So then, Starfleet.
So like they each like rub themselves with the gel, and then like she turns around, implying like, "Can you get my back?" Basically, and he rubs her back, and then he starts rubbing her ears. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure she could get her own ears. No, like you don't need somebody to get
your ears.
It's
illegal
for
her to touch her own ears.
And then he gets like the whole back of her thigh, and I'm like, she can definitely get her own thigh, but she doesn't say anything. And then he turns around like, okay, your turn, and she rubs the back of his thigh, and I'm like, do these people, like, have they never put sunscreen on another person before? Like, you don't have to do their
no,
butt.
No, we got rid of the bad parts. We all of society is good, so there's no sunscreen needed. It's just good all the time.
Anymore.
Yeah,
the sun is only good. So that's pretty silly. I had a note that says, doesn't seem like they need help applying the gel to each other's ears. And then the next line I wrote is just a single line that says, nipples.
Yeah, they were in there. I do appreciate, really I will there. Say, I appreciate that both Trip and T'Pol were half naked, right? Like, at least it was equal opportunity.
Yeah, and I like that they were both very matter-of-fact about it, of like, okay, I guess we'll just
this
rub
is
each
just
other
what
down
we
really
do.
Quick. We gotta do that. Hi, gotta get your thighs. I don't know what to tell you.
It's a good thing he didn't get an erection, because that would have erected
that would have been
scene.
Silly. So then, everyone assumes that because she's in command, she's going to turn the ship back around. Turn the ship around and take them back to Earth. I hope you cut in some music.
T'Pol knows where Klang is.
Yeah, so everyone assumes, oh, well, she's in command, so she's going to turn the ship around. She doesn't. She's like, we're going to find the Suliban, because it's my job to interpret the captain's orders. And he said we have to find Klang, so we're going to find Klang. And so then the captain wakes up, and he's fine, because he got healed by a starfish. I kind of pick up on the fact that, like, this doctor, he's kind of like a, you know,
like a natural
Los
healing
Los
guy.
Angeles, does, like, a lot of tea leaves kind of doctor.
Yeah.
Not an MD. He has doctor in his Instagram profile, but, like, this guy's not
he's
a doctor.
He's actually, like,
there's
a chiropractor.
No yeah.
He's like Dr. Mario. Yeah. He wears a white coat, but, like, what does it really mean?
Yeah. He's like my chiropractor, where at the first appointment he makes you watch a 5-minute video about how he's definitely a real doctor. Don't worry about it. He went to school for like a while. Don't ask any more questions.
A lot of people take 30 years to become a chiropractor.
Yep. And so the captain's been healed by some gooey starfish, and he wakes up and he's like, yeah, I guess we're going back to Earth. And she's like, nah, we're going to find Klang. So they find the Suliban ship, this planet. They can see that there's a Klingon life force on it, so they're like, cool, that's got to be him. And this ship thing on this planet is just a bunch of little ships stuck together, basically. Mm-hmm. So they take their little ship and just like stick it on there. So it's Trip and
they steal one of the
the
Suliban ship
that.
Yeah, because like so the little ships are attacking them because they had to go through this gas layer to get to the station.
Yeah, that's right.
And they use the grappler, which is such a silly, like, you've seen tractor beams, I assume, and other Star Trek where they, like, shoot the little laser and it can hold a thing or pull a thing towards them or whatever. They don't have that here. They don't have force field technology, which that's kind of part of. So they literally have like a grappling hook that they shoot out and they grab the little sphere ship or whatever with the magnets. And they're like, this is ours now. We found this.
Yep. Yep. So so Trip and John get on one of these little ships to go attach to the bigger ship to get Klang. And they get off the ship onto the big ship and they're carrying like a Yeti cooler.
They're going to have like a party, I guess.
I guess.
Like, no, they've got a, it was an EMP. So, you know, later when they all detach, that's what did it it overrode the mag saves, the mag locks.
Got it. Well, it looks exactly like a Yeti cooler. It's like, are they just going to go chill? Like, so they find Klang pretty quickly and they're like, great, this is going to be easy. Klang wakes up and he's like, what the fuck? And he takes Trip and throws him against the wall. And then he kind of looks at them for a second and he's like, oh, I get it. Okay.
You were the guys from before. That's how I know you.
That's how I know you were on the ship earlier. So he just agrees to go with them. I guess he's like, I might as well take my chances, right? So he starts following them and then some Suliban catch them. And then John is like, you take Klang, get on the little ship, get out of here. You can come back for me. It's fine. And then so Klang and Trip go on their little road trip. It's very silly because it just cuts to them sitting in the thing together. And I'm like, this would be a wacky sitcom. Like, these guys
Klang's way too big to be in there. Like, what's going on?
And Klang says, like, he does a little grunt, you know? And Trip's like, I don't like how you smell either. I'm like, oh, this is like just peak silly early 2000s. Like, what if we had a little sitcom moment? And so then cuts back to John. He's got the little EMP thing, like you said. He blows the thing, and then all the little ships detach. And then we're like, uh-oh, what's going to happen with John? He ends up in this weird fucking room where time, like, moves slower or something. It's very confusing. Like, as Family Guy Star Wars once said, it's super confusing, and it stops the story dead. So he has a duel with some Suliban guy, but it's really confusing and the time is moving slowly and I just wasn't following. And then he leaves that room and then they beam him up to the fucking ship and they're like, oh my God, look, it works. Wow.
And he's like,
good thing, right? Yeah.
Because he actually died. Yeah. He died and they made a new one of him.
Isn't that how that works? Like, it's they just...
There are theories about that. The real, quote, technology turns you into energy. So it scans your body and the position of all your atoms, which is impossible. And then it turns that into energy and transmits it as data. And then it reconstructs it wherever you're beaming to. They have a thing called a Heisenberg compensator that is why they can measure the position of each atom, which otherwise they couldn't do. It's not a real thing.
Well, in Criminal Minds, there's Dr. Spencer Reed, and he once said, there's not too many physics inaccuracies in Star Trek, only improbabilities.
Yeah.
And I've picked up on that. Like, the physics does all make sense if you could do that thing. Like,
yeah. That's why warp drive works, is they're not in relativistic space. They put them into subspace, which has different rules for your speed. So,
but I actually enjoy that about the show, because like sometimes shows like will try to do like hacking or set like something, and it's just completely off base, and it takes you out of it because they're saying stuff that doesn't even make sense. But here they're like, it's the physics that they're using is correct. It's just it's not actually possible, as far as we know.
It's more give it or about less 150 correct. Years. Yeah. It's been a long road
getting from there to here. All right. So then they bring Klang to the Klingons, and Klang shows up to the Klingon party, and they're like, oh my God, Klang.
What up, bro?
He's like, and Klang's like, okay, I'm back. I'm ready to die. I'm like, and you can just see on John's face. He's like, but I... What the fuck, dude?
You could have died earlier. And oh, Jesus.
What the fuck? Those fucking Vulcans were right. God damn it. So then the Klingon guy goes up to Klang, cuts his hand, and then they put his blood in a little tube. And the thing is like, yep, that's Klang. And they're all like, holy shit, woo! And then they leave.
Well, so they find information encoded on his DNA is what they saw there.
Oh.
Yeah. They zoomed in on his DNA and there was like a little screen there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
One information, just proving that it was Klang, right?
I don't remember what it was. It was secret information. Okay. I think they come back to it later, but I honestly don't remember.
All right. Well, so then that's it. And then, so they all get back in the Enterprise and they're like, okay, I guess we're going home, right? And John's like, no, we're already out here. Let's just fucking keep going. We're going to just keep this party going. And then that's the end of that episode. 75-minute journey. It was basically a movie with bad animation.
Well, T'Pol stays on with him. T'Pol was supposed to leave, and he was like, you know, maybe it'd be okay, like, if you stuck around or whatever. I don't know. You don't have to. I don't want you to, but, like, you could.
And she's like, okay, I guess.
Whatever.
Ugh. Twist my arm.
Yeah. So she sticks around. But yeah, that's the first episode. I made you watch those ones, really, because I felt like you needed more context for where this was placed in the timeline. Since,
yeah, having the context.
Yeah, all the other ones kind of continue on from each other. Like, Next Generation overlapped with Deep Space Nine, overlapped with Voyager. So that was one long run. But this was like, hey, what if we just went 200 years back and see what happens?
I mean, I liked it because it was, like, kind of closer to today's time, right? Like, the dialect and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know.
I like a lot of the design of the show. Like, I know they had a hard time making it look future for us, but not ahead of the original series. But they had, like, a lot of LCDs and levers and push buttons and stuff. But I particularly like their uniforms. Like, the jumpsuits look way more close to, like, what we expect astronauts to wear right now.
Yep.
So I really like that.
I guess we don't have to do the questions because we're already at 46 minutes.
I know, this one's going long. So we'll take our break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the next
episode. We'll hear from our sponsor.
Yeah. Hi, folks. Jessica here from the Unholy Pod and A Star Is Trek. Whether you're moving into a new place or refreshing the look of an existing room, buying furniture can feel overwhelming. With so many decisions to make about color, style, and the basic type of furniture you need, someone should take the headaches out of interior decorating. Our sponsor, Quabubbe, spelled Q-U-B-B-E, has done just that. Quabubbe offers one object for sale, a rectangular solid just under 3 feet tall. It's not quite hard enough to definitely be a table, but not soft enough for you to think that's definitely a cushion, right? Set a few next to each other, and you can make a decent enough bed. Or a dining table. Or maybe a low shelf for some books and a record player. Look, they're just blocks. Sturdy-ish, medium-heavy blocks. They come in one proprietary color called Vanta Beige. When your friends come over, they'll be sure to say, wow, it looks like you have things in this room that might be used for other purposes. And unlike flat pack furniture, there's no assembly required. Every single Quabubbe sold is delivered to your home in packaging a fraction of the size of the actual solid. Once inside your home, it automatically expands, shredding through the packaging and terrifying any small to medium-sized pets you may have. So if you're looking for a not uncomfortable furniture option that doesn't ask for you to make a lot of decisions, you may be looking for Quabubbe. Visit Quabubbe's website at http://quabubbe.weebly.com to order yours today. Use promo code ASTARISTRAK for 10% off your first three solids and 50% off orders of 47 or more.
All right, are we back?
Yeah, so we just took a 30-minute break and we just said we learned Klingon together. It was a huge kapla, so now we're ready for the second episode, which, how do you say the name of the second episode?
Similitude?
I think that's right. Wow.
Oh my God.
Congratulations. So this one is in season 3 of the show, to give you just a little bit more context for why some things are different. In season 3, after the low ratings of the first two seasons, they decided, what if aliens attacked Earth and said they're going to kill us all? And we just sent the Enterprise out to go find them and say, don't. And so they do this, but they go to this dangerous part of space where they're really far away from Starfleet and there's no Federation. They're far away from Starfleet and any allies they have. And there's no resources. It's kind of Voyager-y a little bit. But like the ship keeps getting attacked. They're low on supplies. And that's why the story here happens, is because they have no other options.
Yeah. So let me walk you through the story of this episode. Should be shorter. This one's pretty simple. A lot of parallels to last week's episode with Tuvix. But as you'll come to find out, I felt a lot more feelings with this one.
Because it was a white guy.
No. No. No, because it was a different situation.
Okay.
So it starts with Tripp's funeral. Is how the episode starts, and I just go, who the fuck died? I go, oh my god, is that Tripp? And then the next line I say is, why did they change the song? What is happening?
It's so sounds bad.
Way peppier, and I hate it.
Jigga-doom, like the whole strumming pattern, it's terrible. I don't like that version of it.
Just like, it's like if the Keyloggers covered that song.
No, we would make it better. I meant to say earlier, but I do actually like the credits themselves. Like what's going on beneath the music is this.
Yeah, some history.
The path of humankind through learning how to travel and navigate with the stars and then the space shuttle, the International Space Station, all of that. It's funny because they actually show the Enterprise, the shuttle, in that cut. And it's funny because that shuttle was named for the Enterprise from Star Trek. So it's this weird, like, cyclical history that couldn't actually happen in universe because there's no Star Trek in universe. But, like, the original series crew was all at that shuttle's dedication. It never flew in space. It was just a test bed, but weird.
Cool. All right. So then the credits finish. And we cut to Tripp and to Paul, and they're doing a little massage sesh. So that made me think they were a couple, which we will later find out they were not a couple yet at this point. I said, it's already deeply horny because they're doing some like acupuncture pressure point therapy.
But he's super distracted talking about the warp engines.
Yeah. As he's getting like a massage and she's got like her boobs in his face and he's like, I just love the warp engines so much. Like, I just lose track of time thinking about that warp engine. And then I looked down for like 10 seconds, and then when I looked back up, something terrible had happened. Tripp was in a coma, and he's going to die. It's like, okay, well, yeah, I lost the plot there for a second. But they got attacked, or they're in some
bad
part of space.
They were trying to supercharge the warp engines to go faster, because they had this dangerous area there, and they wanted to scan it more quickly, because they're trying to find the location of this giant weapon that could literally destroy Earth. And so they were like, we got to get these engines going faster. Warp 5's not enough. We need 5.2. And he got zapped when that experiment didn't go well.
So he's in a coma.
Yeah.
He's in a coma. And the doctor is like, a friend of a friend told me that we can do this pretty weird thing where we make a clone of him. And then we kill the clone to get the clone's brain. Or we'd keep the clone alive, but the clone will only live like 10 days anyway, so it's like whatever. So DePaul comes to John's quarters later and she's like, are you really gonna do this? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, isn't this super illegal because we're gonna like make a person and then kill that person?
You can't just make
people. This seems kind of bad, right? And he's like, these laws don't apply to us. This is different. This is gonna be fine because we need John, so it's gonna be fine.
Trip.
And I wasn't picking up on, like, what was going to happen. I don't know. I thought it was, like, stem cells, something. No, they're, like, making a baby. Cut to a fetus and then a little baby being born. And it's baby Tripp. Like, it's just going to, you know, immediately grow up in, like, the span of 15 days. But so he's, like, a little kid. And then he's, like, a bigger kid. And then we cut to the dog. And the dog's hanging out with the kid. And the captain's like, I'll be the one to break it to the kid. I'm sure he's going to be super chill about it. And he is. So he takes the kid to the hospital bed. The kid has all of Tripp's memories.
Which was unexpected. They didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah. So the kid has, like, Tripp's personality. Well, as a kid.
Yeah.
I think they just assumed that he would just kind of be, like, a blob, right? Like, that had no
the creature that made this clone had never been mixed with a human. And actually, the society that uses them, I think, had outlawed them at this point for that use. So they didn't know, they didn't have a reason to suspect this would happen. The thing was supposed to, like, live, be a clone of Tripp, not really have any real sentience. They'd take the little brain thing out, and then it would die a natural death after 10 days or so.
Yeah, But so what happens is this little kid that they call Sim is like, I got a mom and a dad. We have a dog too. And he's like, and they're all like, what? I'm like, yeah.
No, where's my mom? Don't.
And they're like, so the captain's like, I'll explain it. This will be super simple. So he just takes the kid to Trip's bed. Trip's in the coma. And the guy's like, but that's Trip. But yeah. I'm Trip. And he's like, no, you're not. And he's like, wow, what's going on here? And the doctor's like, we're going to have to take part of your brain and Trip's going to get it. And you'll be fine. Like, you're going to be totally fine. And he's like, okay, cool. I'm going to go back to playing with my little model spaceship. And then he just leaves the room and they're like, oh, wow, thought that was going to be way harder.
He's a super chill kid. Like he grew up around all these people who are like, you're going to die and it's fine.
Yeah. So 2 days later, he's like a teenager now and he's working in engineering and he's working with T'Pol. And he's like, do you want to go out for dinner or something? And she's like, no. And he's like, it's because I'm going to die soon, right? And she's like, no, it's because we're all going to fucking die soon if we don't get the ship out of here. Like, I got priorities. And he's like, well, I really like you. So,
And he at the time, he's like 16 or something. Like, he's not old enough to be asking her on a date.
But I'm starting to pick up on the fact that they're going to allude to that, like, Trip has liked T'Pol for a long time. And they've just never, like, done anything with the two of them. But so, like, because Sim has nothing to lose, he's just going to shoot a shot. And then she's going to know that Trip actually really likes her. But anyway. So he's a little teenage Trip. And he's helping in engineering. Meanwhile, the ship is getting absolutely fucked. It's getting all this, like, magnet stuff, like, clinging onto it and sucking it into this field and whatever. And they're like, we have about 4 days until we're all dead. So that seems bad. So now Cinnamon is an adult. Cinnamon.
Cinnamon is an adult.
And he looks just like Trip. He sounds like Trip. And he's like, I have an idea. What we're going to do is launch the shuttle pods, and the shuttle pods are going to tow us out of here. And everyone's like, how the fuck did we not think of that? Which, to me, it seems very simple. I don't know.
Well, because the shuttle pods aren't rated for that level of thrust, like to tow the ship and with all the extra matter on there.
Towing a semi truck with a Prius.
Okay, my Prius could do it though, especially if there are two of them. Two. But yeah, Prius, so that's why is he because he's such a brilliant engineering mind, he was able to figure out how can we make this work with the resources we have, and they don't need a lot of momentum. They're dead in space right now, but they just need enough to like glide on out of there.
Yep, and so. Then Trip goes to Paul's room and he's like, did you hear my great idea? And she's like, I don't know. Is it going to work? And he's like, yeah, it's going to work. She's like, okay, did you want something else? And he's like, yeah, I can't stop thinking about you. Also, I love you. And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, I don't know if this is how Trip feels or if it's how I feel, but like, I haven't stopped thinking about you since I met you. She's like, okay, I'm going to process that because you're going to be dead in like 2 days. Anyway. Then Sim goes to the captain and he's like, I got an idea. How about I pilot the shuttle that pulls us out of here? And the captain's like, see, the problem with that is the whole reason that you are alive is to harvest part of your brain. So that's going to be a no for me. And he's like, oh, so you only want me for my brain so I can help Trip? And the captain's like, yes, exactly. Like stone cold. Just like, yep, 100%. You got it. Because you can tell the captain's like trying not to get attached to this person who is a person, because he's gonna have to like die real soon, and they don't realize like they think he's gonna die a natural death in like 15 days. But then the doctor comes in, he's like, I have a development. Turns out Sim's definitely gonna die when we do the surgery,
and it's not gonna be fun or cool.
And here's the thing, they decide to tell Sim that, and I gotta be honest, might be an ethical issue on my part, but I wouldn't have told him.
Because he was going to die in 10 days anyway. They had told him that he was going to be okay. Like, he would have gone under thinking, oh, I'll wake back up. I'll be a little weird. But, you know, I still got my 2 or 3 days.
But then he wouldn't have known because he would have just died.
Yeah, but...
Does this make me a terrible person?
Yeah. You're ethically... You know what? I'm going to say it. Orange, Becca. That was an orange statement.
Orange. Targeted because of your... species as a clone.
Yeah.
So Sim knows that he's going to die if they do the surgery. They tell him this and he's like, you know what, whatever, because I'm going to die soon anyway. Except wait, no, I'm not, because the doctor here knows about this secret enzyme that could keep me alive and I could live a full life. So ain't going to do the surgery. Not my problem. Because he has all of Tripp's memories. So
he could have stepped in, right? Yeah, yeah.
It's very complicated because he could have just been Tripp. So then the captain goes to his room and is like, why are you in Tripp's room? And Sim is like, this is my room. Like, I'm Tripp. The captain's like, no, you're not. Tripp is in a coma. Like, you are not Tripp. The captain's like kind of an asshole in this scene because he's just like, Sim is like, what are you going to do? Like, make me go down to sick bay? And he's like, you already know the answer to that. Like, absolutely I am. And he's like, I didn't think you were a murderer. And he's like, good, so don't make me one. And then Sim is going to try to escape. Like, he basically goes to engineering pretending like he's going to go work on something. But it turns out he's actually just going to try to, like, get away in one of the shuttle pods. Oh, the thing I forgot to mention is that the thing with the shuttle pods worked.
Of course it does. He's Tripp.
They're being pulled out of this field. So, but it's going to take, like, 6 days for them to be all the way out. So, or 6 hours or something.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, Sim is like, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. I'm just going to leave. Which, okay, then he's going to die in, like, 3 days anyway. And then actual Tripp is going to die. So, that's a lose-lose. Like, come on, guy. Like, you're going to die real soon anyway. Except, well, there's the enzyme thing that he could do. So, he's going to try to escape. The captain finds him standing by the shuttle pod. And he's like, why didn't you just leave? And Sim is like, well, I realize that there's no bathrooms on this ship. And I'm going to be really old in a couple days. So, that would really suck. it's like fair. And also he's like, and I have a sister and I want her to live or like not lose her brother or whatever. And the captain's so, like, is the sister dead?
Yeah, here's the thing with the sister.
What the
fuck?
Sister
died.
They made it sound like she was alive.
No, because as far as he remembered up to a point, like once he regained the memories when he got there, like his sister was alive, but she died in the attack that precipitated them being sent off into the Expanse, which is the region they're in. So my impression is that his memories caught up as he went, like as he got to the age he made the memory, he started to have them. So he wouldn't have known that until relatively recently. What he was saying is that he didn't want anyone else to lose their sister because of this attack. Because that's the whole thing, is they need Tripp to help stop these aliens from attacking Earth.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want anyone else's sister or family to be destroyed because aliens killed them.
Okay. So then the captain's like, yeah, that's why I made you in the first place, is because we need Tripp. And then it gets really emotional, and I actually cried. So
I cry when I watch it. I watched it yesterday, and I was like, this is a good episode.
I will have you know. Yeah, you got me. It's first one. Yeah, insert little applause here.
Oh, I thought you cried at... One Saw Step. Like, I cry in One Saw Step. When she says
the Yankees in six games.
Well, that whole last segment where she, like, finally gets it and he's really emotional.
I didn't
that gets to me.
I got a little choked up. But here, yeah, because then it goes to him in his room. He's laying there with the dog, which, you know how I feel about the dog.
You do love dogs.
Dog.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, we're ready for you. And he's like, okay, I'll be right there. Like, he kind of gets it. And then T'Pol comes into his room. And she's like, I'm going to miss you, even though you're still kind of going to be here. And he's like, well, thanks for making this really great. And then she just leans in and kisses him. And he's like, that was the best going away present. And I'm like, oh, oh, because now Tripp isn't going to know that
he
that
doesn't
happened.
Know. Yeah.
Ah. And so then Sim goes in and goes into like the little hospital room where Tripp is laying, and he goes to Tripp and he's like, you owe me one. And then he goes under and he dies, and it's a big bummer, man, because it's like it for me it was different from Tuvix, not just because he wasn't ugly. It's because
but
he wasn't like the combination of bad personality traits. Like, he was this person, like he was this character who was this good guy, right? And like, it was so conflicted because he, like, ultimately what won out was Tripp's character, in that he was like a selfless person. He's like, mm-hmm. okay, well, I have to do this. Even though he wasn't Tripp, like that part of his personality was so core to his being, that even though there was this, like, this shitty situation, he ultimately is like, no, I have to do this. Versus with Tuvix, like, Tuvix gets dragged. Like, he doesn't want to do it.
This fucking sucks. Which to me was
less redeemable and, like, less sad, because it's like, yeah, like, logically, with Tuvix, he was, like, arguing that his life as one person should be valued more than two, which is counter to what I think a lot of people would believe. Even, like, I know a lot of people disagree about that episode, but that to me was like the clear-cut argument, is like, you have two people who've lived full lives versus this one life that's only existed for 10 days. Like, to me that makes a lot of sense. But this one was more complicated, because it's like, this is a person with a full life who could live a full life, so it is like very complicated. And it's not like, you know, somebody else wouldn't get to live because he died. Like, it would be the same person. So it's very,
well,
it wasn't as clear cut.
So if he had, if they had tried this enzyme or whatever, that would have prolonged his life, Sim's life. By the time they knew if it worked or not, Tripp would be dead. Like, his injuries would have caused him to die and,
right,
and fall into the coma. So there's this element of, if we try to save Sim, we won't be able to save Tripp, and then we could lose both of them. So there is, mm-hmm. it is a little bit more risk there. Because at least if,
yep.
Tuvix, you keep your one person who still has both sets of skills. But in this case, you would lose both people with both sets of skills.
Yep. Yep. But it was still sad, because he's like, I'm a full person. I don't really want to do this, but I know I have to. And so that made it more sad, because he knew that it was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was doing it for the greater good, and that was sad. But yeah, I liked this one. This is a good one.
I knew it. You're gonna get torn up on Star Trek Twitter because you liked an Enterprise episode.
Do people not like Enterprise? I liked
people,
it.
So at the time it was on, people hated it, and for a long, long time people hated it. And even today, like, Chris doesn't like it. Chris has only watched it through once. I had to make them watch it. To be fair, I've only seen it like 1.5 times. I kind of handpick episodes. On the whole, it is one of the weaker series, and it was canceled after 4 seasons instead of getting 7, which the other modern Star Treks had gotten. The last season was retooled a little bit to start doing longer arcs of episodes. So they'd be like 3 episodes, which is why we didn't watch anything from theirs, because I wanted you to watch the earlier stuff. But yeah, people generally don't like it. It has seen some redemption in the last couple years, with the newer Star Trek not quite being what people wanted. But after Enterprise, there was no Star Trek for 5 years until Star Trek 2009 came around. And that was such a different vision of it. And until Discovery, there was no Star Trek on TV.
This is crazy to me, because this one might be my favorite one.
That's wild. I didn't expect that, but you have to watch the whole series. There are some terrible episodes, but there are a couple that raise interesting moral questions. One of them is why Chris hates it. But on the whole, I really like Enterprise, and a lot of people disagree with that. But I found it enjoyable. I particularly like the captain, who's played by Scott Bakula, which he was on a show called Quantum Leap, which I can't imagine you've ever seen. But it was like a late 80s, early 90s sci-fi show where this guy invented time travel and he'd hop into bodies to fix things that went wrong in the past. But it was a super good show, like it's a genre classic. And so when he was on there, I was already excited for that. But I love Tripp and T'Pol, their whole story, because they do end up falling in love. And the last couple episodes, which will be, I don't have to spoil it if you are gonna watch
no,
it.
No, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
Okay. Then I will say that their relationship is interesting to follow, and the end is, if you discount the very last episode, I really like where they end up. It is another thing I cry at every time I watch it, because it just, I really appreciate those two characters. To the point where, like, even after the series ended, I read the books because I liked those set of characters. The rest of the crew was a little underserved.
The second, like, yeah, when she comes on the first scene and he's like this hick and she's just like this badass Vulcan lady, and I'm like, they're gonna end up together,
yeah,
for sure.
They fucking 100%. Love each other.
Oil and water. Like,
they
yeah.
tease you throughout the series with Archer and T'Pol as being potential mates, and there's one episode
really?
Where there's like a future timeline and they end up together. But to me, it was always tripping to Paul. Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the episode you saw, like in the first one, it wasn't really there because they weren't establishing any of that yet. And then the one you watched after, they had really leaned into tripping to Paul by that
point. Oh, I thought from the first one, there's the whole gel scene. Like, that's true.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
So,
but yeah, I really like Enterprise. I'm glad you enjoyed it. This one was harder to pick because the whole third season relies on you knowing what happened before.
Oh, yeah.
And so this episode was easier to do as a standalone, which is another reason I picked it. But I thought it was a good balance against Tuvix, which with a similar kind of moral question around whose life is more important when you weigh it against other things. And then Broken Bow, I just think you have to watch to get the real understanding of the setting. So
I think I realized what I liked, like why I like this one the most is because it felt so much like the TV I watched growing up. Like, I grew up watching early CSI, like 2000, 2001, shot very similarly. Like, the photography is very similar. The set was very similar. Like, you could tell it was just of that time. And so I think, to me, it was the first one that didn't feel like old TV.
That is true. Yeah, the other ones, you can see that. I think Voyager is the first one, to me, that doesn't feel old, just because...
Right, because that's like the TV you watched growing up.
Yeah, like it had gotten to that point. Like later Next Generation, when you watch season one Next Generation, they're into those really tight suits and they don't have the collars and Riker doesn't have a beard. I'm like, that looks so dated to me. But once you get to season three and everyone looks more like how they look the rest of the series, that makes sense to me. And Deep Space Nine is the same way. Once they hit... You saw they had the gray shouldered uniforms versus the colored shoulder ones. Like, those are the movie uniforms. That to me then looks modern because it's like, oh yeah, that's just the Starfleet uniform. Enterprise is another one that, plus for me, as someone who really likes the world they established, the continuity of design, I love that. Yeah. And Enterprise carries that on in a way that when we got to Star Trek 2009 and then Discovery, they blew a lot of that up. And you'll see that when you watch some of Discovery in particular, is it looks too futuristic. Ships are too big. Like, it's weird because it doesn't play well with what was established before. So Enterprise is really the end of that whole generation of Star Trek from the next or from the original series movies through to Enterprise was kind of one unbroken string of Star Trek for, I don't know, 25 years.
And that has happened where I walked in on David watching Discovery and I'm like, is this Star Trek? Like, I can't.
Discovery starts rough, but the last season in particular was good. The one before that was okay. So,
And I've weirdly seen the season one finale of Picard.
Of Picard, I gotta figure out. I don't know what you're gonna watch for that, because that another problem now as we get to Discovery and Picard is that those are shows where you need. They're not.
It's an
standalone.
Arc.
It's not, it's a season long arc, and so it's gonna be hard to pick ones from that. But we're not going to do that. Our next set is going to be, we're going to dip into the animated series. So next week will be the original Star Trek animated series, which came out, I think, in 71 or something like that. It features most of the original cast on there and writers and stuff. So it is like if they did another year of the original Star Trek, it just happens to be animated. But it did allow them to do some sillier stuff in terms of alien design and whatever. I've never watched it, so I'm kind of excited to watch the ones I pick for you. It's another one I've read in the book. But then we're going to do Lower Decks, which is my favorite of the new Star Treks. It's made by the people who did Rick and Morty, but it's not Rick and Morty, thankfully. And then after that is Prodigy, which is actually a show geared towards kids, but in the Star Trek universe and has Captain Janeway on it. So I really like Prodigy. It's only done half a season so far, though. So that one will be a little hard to pick from, too. And then I think we'll do movies.
Some movies.
We'll do one movie from each of the groupings. And that'll be the original movies, the Next Generation movies, and then the Kelvinverse movies. And then we'll wrap with Discovery, Picard, and Strange New Worlds. So that's our map for the rest of the series here.
And then we're going to do a limited series podcast where I make you watch Twilight.
I've watched Twilight before.
Okay, but we're going to watch it together.
Okay, well, I'm going to watch it with Riff Tracks. Okay. Have you ever watched?
I'm kidding.
I can
we're
send
not
you the
that
Riff
would
track
be one. Terrible.
It would be bad. Did I send you there was a tweet that had an Instagram filter or whatever, like a Snapchat filter, where they were making googly eyes and their tongues are sticking out?
Yeah.
I laughed until I cried. I watched it a dozen times and I cried each time because it's so funny.
I've also seen, there's a one where it's the scene where he saves her from the car, but it's like the Snapchat filter where the face is like.
Yeah, they're smiling real big. Oh, it's so funny. We're just going to do our next series will just be Twilight memes.
Yep.
No.
All right. Well, no, I don't know what we'll do next. Enterprise.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us on this long road as we got from there to here.
It's been a long road. Yeah. I hope everyone enjoys all the work you put into the opening song.
You know how long it took me? It was about 4 hours. It was not very long. Because I know that song in my heart. No, but it's not.
It's not really.
I did. I've been waiting to get to this episode to do that. The whole time we were planning it, I was like, when we get to the Enterprise episode.
I'm so glad that you didn't give me any inclination of what was going to happen. All Jess told me was, don't skip the opening credits. Like, don't hit the skip intro button. Just watch it. That was all I knew going into it. So I'm like, okay. And then it kicks in. She's like, it's been a long road. And I'm like, oh boy.
It's so good. I unironically love it. I used to hate it, and now I'm like, oh yeah, that's my shit.
Then David texts me, he's like, I see you've got faith of the heart. And I said, what in the name of early 2000s nonsense is happening?
I think it was in our group chat, but he sent me like the lyrics and stuff, and I was like, yes, it's happening. I'm so glad.
Yep.
I'm amused that you didn't hate it, because it is cheesy and all that, but I'm like, it's of that moment. It
like
really
I
is.
Said, it felt very nostalgic of like the early like CSI. Like I was obsessed with CSI growing up. That was my favorite show. And like that when I watch
Copaganda.
It now, I'm like, that looks so old because it started in 2000. And so I'm like, wow. Like, but that is the TV that I loved growing up, was that style. And this felt very much like that. So felt familiar in a weird way.
I'm glad we could give you that. All right, we'll be back next week with our run through the animated series. Let's do it.